The hour, you can check the latest information, and we'll be back here in a moment with more. When we come back, I want to talk to you about a few other things, too, and I want to follow up on a couple of things on Pine Bush, and we'll also open up the telephone line if it's okay.
Sure.
Our telephone number, folks, if you'd like to get involved, our UFO line is 682-2233. That's area code 918-682-2233. Of course, our email address is pippinshow@excite.com. That's pippinshow@excite.com. And I have a couple of emails for you already, Dr. Bruce, when we get back.
Okay.
We'll take a 6 or 7 minute break, and we'll be back in touch with you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Now, Goldie's Music is proud to present a 3-CD set called The Rat Pack.
Night and day. You are the one.
Yes, together once again, it's Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., and Dean Martin in this collector's CD set.
Here's a happy tune.
A happy tune.
You love to croon.
You love to croon.
They call it Dean's song.
Hey, you don't seem to understand.
Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
Corina, Corina.
I love you so.
All songs digitally mastered for the highest quality sound, and the Rat Pack is only available through this radio offer. Here's how to get your very own copy of the Rat Pack.
Call now, 1-800-662-3995. That's 1-800-662-3995 for the Rat Pack. That toll-free number is 1-800-662-3995, 1-800-662-3995.
Muskogee.com.
Try and get another roll of film in here. I might be able to catch it.
Muskogee.com.
Try and get another roll of film in here. I might be able to catch it when it's flying away. So I rolled the film back into its canister, popped the back of the camera, grabbed the canister, ran to my truck, got another roll of film, came back, threaded the film in, closed the back of the camera, and then looked up, thinking that it would have already passed over me by then. I mean, if this had been a commercial plane traveling at 200 miles an hour, it would have passed over me by then, okay? And there it was, stopped in the sky, hovering, waiting for me to complete the reloading of my camera.
In other words, almost like it was posing.
And then it started moving again, and it changed its lighting to a whole bunch of rainbow-colored lights and flew over me. And when it flew over me, I saw this huge, delf-black, diamond-shaped craft with a tail on it. I mean, a tail on a manta ray, not a tail on a
I understand what you're saying.
And
That's incredible. It's like, hey, let's give old Bruce a show.
Right, and so they had me hooked. And clearly, I wanted to find out more about this because everything that I'd read about in Ellen Crystal's book, Silent Invasion, I had some doubts about. I mean, my goodness, this was happening in my own backyard, and I'd lived there for 4 years, and I'd never noticed anything like this. And so...
Now, you and Ellen Crystal became pretty good friends and associates later on. Did she ever realize that at first you were a doubting Thomas?
Sort of.
Okay.
Yeah.
And later you changed your mind about her, right?
Yes. Now, as being sort of, I say I'm an objective person, in other words.
In other words, you're open, but with a healthy piece of skepticism.
Correct. One of the other things that was quite surprising, and I mean, I have had many amazing things happen to me out there in the field, and I will preface this one by saying, have you ever been followed home by a Boeing 707? Okay?
No.
Okay. On this one particular afternoon, I was coming home from work. It was still bright daylight out. I was on the New York Thruway, traveling north towards Albany, and I was coming up on the Harriman exit, which is Route 17 that goes to Middletown, where I lived. Well, as I was approaching, I saw a low-flying jetliner off to my right. And I knew it wasn't very high in altitude because it was below the top of Bear Mountain, which rises only 300 feet above the valley. So you're talking about an aircraft that is critically low and seriously in a problem if it was a commercial aircraft, okay? And it flashed its lights as it was approaching me.
You, by flash, you mean off and on?
Off and on, off and on, off and on.
Like it wanted to pass you.
Like, well, the thought that was, this pilot's in trouble. He's going to try to land on the highway, and he's trying to warn
get out of the way, right.
people to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm focused on this as I'm driving along, and as it gets up to me, it turns, banks, and travels right across the highway at about 250 feet altitude, very slowly, and I get a very clear look at this thing. And this is broad daylight, okay? That means even though it's approaching sunset. And it was solid black. It looked exactly like a Boeing 707, but it had no windows on its fuselage, and it had no engines on its wings or its body.
No engines.
No engines, but it was producing a sound like...
your camera.
Exactly. So it crossed the highway, and then I took my exit, and on 17, I'd gotten about a mile or two from the toll booth, and here it comes across the highway about a half a mile in front of me, again, going from left to right.
Your camera.
Exactly. So it crossed the highway, and then I took my exit, and on 17, I'd gotten about a mile or two from the toll booth, and here it comes across the highway about a half a mile in front of me, again, going from left to right. I travel another mile, it comes across the highway from right to left. Travel another mile, it comes across the highway from left to right. Now, in a period of about 10 minutes, it had crossed the highway four times in front of me.
Now, this was not a turnpike or a freeway. This was a regular highway this last time, huh?
Right. Well, yeah, it went from a freeway down to a highway.
Right. And they was going across the highway in front of you.
Right. And there were dozens of cars on the road. Okay.
Did anyone else notice it, you think?
Probably did, but, I had never heard a report of anybody witnessing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I finally got up to my exit at Middletown, New York, it was dark by then. The sun had set. And I was approaching the exit, and I see these lights coming towards me again. And I had the sinking feeling that, oh, my goodness, it's the same thing. And sure enough, as I took my exit, I was coming down the exit ramp to a light and stopping the light. I was looking around for it, and here it was right above me, hovering.
Almost at your house.
And then the light turned green, and I started driving towards my house, which was a mile or two down the road, and it just gradually pulls ahead of me. I'm doing 45 miles an hour, and it couldn't have been doing more than 50, and disappears ahead of me. And I get home, and I run in and get my camera, and I run out to set it up, because if it had already passed over me or in front of me five times in the previous half an hour, I figured there was more going to happen. So I wanted to be ready. And I got my camera set up out there on its tripod, and sure enough, here it came back. And I got a whole series of time exposures as it flew over me once, and then it circled around and came back and flew over me again. And I got a whole bunch of more pictures. And I have a special device on my camera called a chopper device. It's an external shutter that clips the image so that any moving light will have little tabs on it that I can use to help determine the speed. Well, the last time it flew over me, as it was approaching me, I opened my shutter with an electronic cable so that there's no vibration. This thing stops, backs up, then starts moving slowly forward and doing little loops through the air. And I turn on the external shutter, and I capture enough information on that time exposure that allowed me to determine how fast it was going.
And how fast was it going?
It was going 50 miles an hour.
And this thing's the size of
a Boeing. It looked just like a Boeing 707, but without engines. So I did. So bottom line is this. Whoever they were, whatever they were doing, they were definitely giving me a show, and they were definitely giving me capability of studying them in a certain way.
Have you made any of these pictures? Are they available on any of your websites?
Oh, yeah, all of these are. I have literally dozens and dozens of pages, and I'll give you a website address.
Is this the Monmouth?
Yes.
.com. That's an interesting website. www.monmouth.com. And then you got a slash, the backslash, and then a little squiggly B. Is that BCOR?
NET.
Uh-huh.
And then another right slash, and if they go to this particular page, it's AOP_TOC.htm. They'll have a whole table of contents of all of the different pages.
Now, we have a link to that, and we'll keep that on our website, by the way,
okay,
so people can find that. In fact, our previous guests, we leave their links up for a while because, you know, it's just incredibly interesting. I mean, you spend a lot of time looking at these pictures, and they literally, the pictures look just like you saw them, huh?
Mm-hmm. And, of course, keep in mind that whatever these things are, they're stealth because they're black. They could fall into a military category, or they could be a military category, if you know what I mean. In other words, they don't have to be humans. Didn't have to build them, but they definitely are wanting to remain in control of the situation. They don't want to give any information away that is not intentionally given. And the second thing that is most fascinating is their lighting. They keep on mimicking the lighting and sounds of aircraft. Now, one of the things Ellen talks about in her book, Silent Invasion, is the sounds that they make. And she became aware that these were fake sounds when they would turn them off and turn on another sound. And I have recordings of them doing exactly that. And I have analyzed with a spectrometer the different frequencies of these sounds I've recorded from these things, and they were all synthetic, all made up of individual frequencies blended together to create the illusion of a sound of a jet.
In other words, giant synthesizers in the sky.
Yep. And the amazing thing is, what other proof or evidence for the skeptic is that these things are synthetic noises? Because when you record the sound of a jet engine, for example, you'll get a lot of white noise, way up in the high kilohertz frequencies. But if you play that back out of a loudspeaker, for example, you will lose that component because the speakers cannot vibrate that fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, assuming that however they were able to broadcast that sound, their speaker systems couldn't do it either, the end result is that none of the sounds I've recorded from these craft have any white noise. They're all synthetic.
Wow. That is again an explanation that needs to be explained sometime, and I don't guess you have enough information for that.
We just don't have enough information. That was why Scott and I have tried to get people interested in putting up some money to build these platforms. We can collect that information instead of leading things to speculation and uncertainty. You know, sci-fi is 100% speculation. Well, we want to get back to science and have the data rooted in objective observation and instrumentation.
Well, you know, the first thing I thought of when you were talking about the sounds being simulated, do you think they'd be doing the same thing with visual frequencies?
Yes, most definitely. I think they were doing that. And, for example, that alleged Boeing 707, I actually have seen it twice, and then the other time, I actually have time exposures of it unfolding its wings. So they are mimicking our aircraft. And wouldn't, think about it, if you were visiting somebody else's planet and wanting to study them, wouldn't you want to blend in instead of stick out? And wouldn't you want to mimic their aircraft so that people would think you're just another airplane?
Well, that makes sense to me, Doctor. It really does. You know, there have been recent sightings of all kinds of things, and one of the things that we have a lot on our show, and this is a fairly recent event as far as I know, and that's these large black triangles.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be fairly prevalent all of a sudden.
They have become more prevalent in the last decade or so, much so. In fact, I've seen quite a few of them myself, and I've gotten reports this year up in Pine Bush of a number of sightings of these black triangles.
What do you think? Well, of course, we don't know, but I mean, are they screwing around with our impressions, the video impressions with these things, or are they really triangles, you think?
I think they are trying to give us information and messages. They are trying to wake us up to their reality, but in a way that is non-threatening. And they are constantly doing things that are symbolic. They pick certain dates. They pick certain people with certain names. We're doing studies on this.
Now, what do you mean certain people with certain names?
All right, let me give you an event that happened on the 12th of January of this year in Middletown, New York. This gentleman by the name of Sal Cerami, who lives in New York City, was visiting his daughter in Hancock, New York, and he had a pass through Middletown on Route 17. Well, as he was passing through Middletown towards the exit that goes to Pine Bush, it was still dark out. The sun hadn't risen, and he sees this triangular set of lights coming towards him on the left side of the highway. And as it approaches him, it turns and crosses the highway right in front of him, just like that Boeing 707 light
crashed
to me. And then once it got over the highway to the other side, it turned vertical so that it was, if it would have been a plane, it would have its wings up and down vertically, okay? So obviously a plane can't fly that way, right? And he could see the lights very clearly. It had a red light in the center and three white lights, just like the Belgian triangle that had been photographed. And then it made a left-hand turn, a very sharp right-angle turn, and flattened out and pancaked down into a field, okay? Now, it happened right in front of a pair of Christian crosses, huge Christian crosses on a hillside on the right-hand side of the road, okay? Now, what is interesting about this is that we were able to determine, he went back and did a very detailed study and mapping exactly where it went. It crossed the highway at 260 degrees compass. We're reasonably certain that that's exactly what it had to do, okay? And it dropped down behind a house in a field that on that road was 260. The house street number was 260.
Is that a coincidence or what?
And I don't think it was a coincidence because, you see, what is interesting is it was trying to tie things together for the person who's investigating. Now, it just happens to be that Salvatore means the Savior, and Cerami means the Lord. And it happened right in front of a pair of Christian crosses, and this was the kind of message that they keep on trying to give. They keep on doing things that link with religion. Constantly, all the time, or with our ancient history, like the pyramid and the temple.
Yeah, like what you saw in the pictures.
Exactly. So there is this recurring theme, and if you've read any books that trying to tie the UFO sightings with the Bible, for example, you'll see that there's a lot of literature out there that says that many of the things that are described in the Bible might simply be sightings.
Wow. Yeah, we've talked about that before on the show, of course, many times. Is there some religious significance going on here, you think?
We don't know for certain, but it certainly could be. In fact, I have friends who think that much of our religions were given to us by ETs.
Well, Dr. Bruce Cornett, our time has flown. We've had a very interesting conversation. We need you to come back. You're a researcher. Geologist, paleobotanist, and a paleontologist, and of course you got a great website, and they can find that by going over to our website and clicking on there. No book to push tonight, huh? That's kind of refreshing.
Well, thank you. Yep, I mean, just a lot of web pages. I thought that was the better way of getting things out for people to have access.
Good luck on raising some funds, and I'm sorry we didn't get into the oil business. We'll do that next time.
I appreciate it.
I understand you got a little project going on there.
Yes, I do.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back with the sightings report next.
Now, Goldie's Music has compiled the very best.